What's up, everybody? This is Eric Nam. Welcome to the K-Pop Tabok Show. I hope you guys are doing well, and I hope that you are safe and that you are healthy. And I'm sure many of you know that this is the first episode in a few weeks because last week Dive Studios decided as a whole to not put out any content in solidarity with the current movement right now in the States and also globally for racial justice and equality. And we felt that it was the right thing to do, and we hope that you are on board with us because this is an incredibly important and pivotal time in our lives, not only for our generation, but for future generations, because this is an issue that has gone ignored and without action for far too long. So we obviously did not put out any content. We are back this week, but we are back because we also, outside of just putting out a show, we wanted to send a message of encouraging everybody who listens, who is part of this Dive family, to get involved in whatever way you possibly can. If you're like me, you know, the past few weeks can be very dizzying and very confusing and very overwhelming and intense for various reasons. Not only are we in the midst of a pandemic, but we are also in the midst of a huge cultural movement and shift that has been needing to happen for centuries, and we are in the middle of going through right now. And so I think as an Asian American trying to understand, what role do I play in this? What role do I play in this society and culture, and how can we add in a positive and constructive way? Those are things that I've been kind of thinking about internally and trying to be constructive in that sense. So one thing that I did want to share with all of you, and I'm sure you guys are already, you know, seeing it all over social media and all over different places, but one thing that we're trying to do is encourage people to not only stand in solidarity, but if you are able to, you know, consider donating to community funds that support the Black community, Black-owned businesses, funds to bail people out, and also, very important, to vote. A lot of states are going through elections right now, and obviously we have elections coming up in November. We need to register to vote. You need to register to vote, because your vote is what's going to change and affect things. So as we process these issues, as we process this movement that we're going through, I hope that, you know, I can add my two cents in ways that are constructive and add to the dialogue. And hopefully we can try to figure things out and improve the culture and improve our communities for the better through this dialogue. One thing I also did want to leave you guys with is I've been kind of searching for a way to kind of figure out where to donate to, what actually impacts and what actually helps some of the causes that are going out there. And I found an article that has an incredibly extensive list of places that you can donate. And I think if you guys want to go in, look through it, find the one that means the most to you, or the one that you really want to support, consider donating. And if you can't donate, that's fine. Everybody's going through different things. But just to be a vocal ally and a proponent for change, I think, is incredibly important. Anyways, that link, it's a little long, but it's nymag.com/strategist/article/where to donate for Black Lives Matter. So, like, just search Google, New York Mag, NY Mag, where to donate for Black Lives Matters, right? And there is an incredible list. So please go there, check it out. And this episode of K-Pop Tabok, as well as the few upcoming episodes, they're all recorded pre all of this. So I know there's some of the stuff is lighter, some of the stuff is darker and deeper, but I just want to make sure that you guys have all the context for it. So anyways, hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please stay safe. Please continue to wash your hands. Support good people, community. Let's be nice to each other. And have a great week. Enjoy. Bye.
This is the intro jingle. This is the K-Pop Tabok Show with Eric Nam.
Ladies, gentlemen, girls, and boys, welcome to the K-Pop Tabok Show. I'm your host, Eric Nam, and today we have a very special interview, a very special conversation with a friend of mine. His name is Max. He is a singer-songwriter, and he is an incredible performer, musician, like amazing. And we caught up for the first time, actually. We had been texting for a long time. We just been communicating over the internet, and we found time out of our busy quarantine schedules to pretty much get together and have a conversation about life, about music, about his new album that's upcoming, and some collaborations with some incredible artists, including BTS Suga. So check it out. Here's a conversation. Here's some insight on how the song was put together, how his album was put together, and I hope you enjoy this interview conversation with Max. Please be sure to subscribe to K-Pop Taebak and leave us a nice rating and review, and consider becoming a patron of ours at patreon.com/divestudios. And of course, as always, there are videos available both on Patreon and YouTube at youtube.com/divestudios as well. Now, without further ado, here's my conversation with Max. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen of the K-Pop Taebak family, we have an incredible, incredibly talented singer, songwriter, performer here with us today. He is, and I quote, this, and if it's in quote, it means it's real, multi-platinum Sony recording artist Max, who has been labeled a young pop god by GQ. And I will agree with that. And top pop star to watch by Billboard, and was nominated for Best New Pop Artist at the 2019 iHeartRadio Music Awards. But that is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to who this incredible human being is. I'm so excited to have my friend Max here. How are you, dude?
Dude, thanks so much for having me. I'm great. I feel delish. I jumped in the shower, as we just talked about right before this, and I got right out, and I was like, oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to just dive in, baby. Let's go.
Well, welcome to the show. I appreciate you making time. And, I was, before you jumped on, I was like, I wonder if he's going to wear yellow. And sure enough, you are wearing yellow.
Of course. I've committed to it so hardcore. But a big thing about that, I would say, I started committing to yellow about a year ago when Love Me Less started for the album. Mm-hmm. And then I want to say I'm wearing it. And when I went to Korea for the first time, and everybody wore yellow, and every gift that was given was yellow, and yellow mm-hmm. cakes and everything, I was like, oh, I'm staying with this baby. Let's go. it was my sign from the universe to just stay with it for the record. But it's definitely had moments where my wife's like, can you just not wear yellow today? Can you wear like black or something else? I'm like, I gotta commit, baby. Let's go.
What is like the most extreme thing that you have in yellow at this point?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have
like the weirdest thing. Yeah.
Ooh, the weirdest thing. I have full like pajama suits in yellow, oh, of wow. course. I'm trying, what else? I mean, I have, even things have crept into my life. Like I have a giant yellow blanket sitting not too far from here, and it wasn't even a part of the theme. It just is here, and it's a giant yellow blanket. But I wouldn't say anything too weird. Is there anything okay. super weird? Yellow? Anyway, continue. There's nothing super
just,
weird.
Just manifested yellow into every part of your life.
Pretty much. I feel like I see it everywhere. It's like anything that happens in your life. When something happens, then you see everybody with it,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah, man.
Well, how have you been doing? I know you've been isolated with, a few people. You've still been writing, right?
Yeah.
How have you been doing?
I'm doing well, man. Honestly, I'm grateful to have the little quarantine. It's funny because, a lot of people don't, but literally right when quarantine started, we were supposed to get together and write. And then that was the week that things really got crazy in the States. That was the week. And my parents are a little older. My mom is 68. So I took it very, because I see them every day with my wife. So it's like, mm-hmm. I took it pretty seriously right away. And I remember in the beginning how, just people weren't, not everybody. One of my best friends was like, I'm at the gym. It's cool. Don't worry about it. And then the next day he's like, I really shouldn't have done that. I'm so sorry. I should have listened to you, But I feel grateful now because I'm with my people. We're still able mm-hmm. to create and be creative. And I know you have your squad too. How you doing? You feeling, you've got your fam?
I'm good. We're just working. We're just writing, podcasting, writing other stuff, just living life. I feel like this is a situation that everybody in the world is in, and we just got to make sure that we do the best we can with it. What else can we do?
Right? Totally. It's definitely a good time to reflect on whether it's your way of doing it is to be productive, trying to be productive, mm-hmm. or if it's just a time to reflect. My my wife always, she's very spiritual. And so
yeah.
My way to deal with something like this is just to try to like get ahead of it, try to create. And I'm sure you're being the same way. But sometimes she reminds me to just, like yesterday, just take a no phone day and really soak in just this time in our life, which sometimes I think I get scared of it because when I really sit down with it, sometimes it makes it very real. And that creeps in where it's like, man, I want to play a show. We're not going to get to play shows for a few years. You know, I don't want to make this sad right now, but it is. There's some sad parts and there's also brilliantly happy things that come from it where you get to write more and create more.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you completely. So, I mean, I think for a lot of our listeners, they may be like, why is Max on a K-pop podcast show? And, you know, to provide some context, I guess, Max, you went out to Korea for the first time earlier this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first time.
And you played a show there. What was that, January?
That was in January, yep.
Right? Because I wanted to link up, but I was on tour in Asia, and then we just missed each other. But I guess since then, like, I feel like you've made a lot of friends in the K-pop area. Mm-hmm. And you had a great show in Korea. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was unlike anything I've ever experienced. I mean, I had been told it was gonna blow my mind, but it obviously nothing's like it until you actually experience it. And I think it was just, for one, there's just an attention to detail, and I'm such an obsessive, compulsive person. And I feel like Korean fans, K-pop fans, they know it all. You can't, and I can't lie either. I've done some acting stuff, but I legitimately cannot lie to people. So I love that Korean fans see through, like they know if you're faking it. And I love, I think I just love the transparency, like. They tell you how they feel at the show. It was so nice. People were just so obviously kind, but more so than that, they were so just transparent about if they had just started listening to the music yesterday and liked it, or they really did start a month ago. And I feel like there's fans around the world where sometimes they feel like they have to like give you a story so they can connect. But sometimes just a fan telling you, yo, I started listening to music yesterday and that's why I'm at the show today and I'm really happy to be here. That's all you need to connect. That real moment really, really hits you. And I think I experienced that more than ever in Korea. And the energy was unlike any city I've ever been to in Seoul. Mm-hmm. It was like the fans' energy at the show. I was rebirthed. I feel like I literally came from the ground like a phoenix, wanting to wear yellow again. Everything. I was like at a very low right before. So in a long story short sense, I think that I got just obsessed with Korea the second I walked in. And I knew I would be, but it was a whole other level right after.
That's awesome. I think we could talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the friends that you've made a little bit later in our conversation. Sure. But before we, you know, get there, let's just talk a little bit about how you got to where you are. Like, where are you from? What happened? Why are you such an incredible singer, songwriter, performer? Walk us through how you grew up.
Man, I grew up in Hell's Kitchen, New York City. I got this tattoo that is everywhere. It's just a pitchfork, which represents where I'm from, and I carry it everywhere. And I grew up around Broadway, musical theater. You know, I started doing theater when I was really young and seeing Broadway shows and reenacting them in my underwear on my living room table, like The Lion King and all that. And I think that just was sort of the crux of who I developed into, you know? And I listened to a lot of soul music growing up, like pop music, of course, like Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears and all those homies. But then like Etta James and Marvin Gaye and James Brown. And I think you throw all that in a little pot. And I just kept doing that. I kept writing and doing musical theater shows and then some TV stuff. And it was cool. I did like some Nickelodeon stuff and whatever else. But
yeah,
it always came back to music. And I think I got to a certain place where I just said to myself, somebody else will be so much happier just doing the movie or the TV thing. And I should be happy. And I really wasn't. I just didn't like auditioning or being on set. And that's a huge part of it. Just like if you don't like writing, if you don't like writing songs or doing a lot of things we do as artists, then maybe this isn't for you. You know, every bit of the process is it. So in a short sense, that's how it all developed. And here I am sitting here singing songs.
That's awesome. What was like, you know, growing up, were your parents always supportive of you doing music? Did you always play instruments? And what was like for you, when did it kind of click? Like, I can have a career being a musician. Like, I feel like everybody has one of those moments.
Yeah, the moment, man. Yeah, it's so true. I feel like they were always so supportive. My parents have been amazing. You know, I don't have one of those. I'm sure it would help my story. I saw that Chris D'Elia special when he's talking about how he's like, oh man, my childhood was so good. I need some pain so I can really use it in my artistry. But no, my parents are so cool. I was just an only child and they just loved me and like showed up to my camp with cookies and was really, they were super nice. So I always knew I loved it. They knew I caught the bug. But I think on the professional side, we moved from New York to Woodstock, which is like a hippie upstate town. Maybe people know about the Woodstock famous concert that happened. Right. Moved up there and I started doing like youth theater. I started doing a bunch of random shows and then I kept doing it. And I like quit soccer and sports and stuff. And at around 13, I told my parents I wanted to go back to New York and go to like a performing arts high school. And I think that was the moment when I got into a school and moved back to New York that it was definitely, well, if I felt this guilt, if I'm moving my parents, they loved like being in Woodstock and hanging out in the suburbs. So if they're coming here because of me, I better make it work. And and my first real gig was this show, 13 on Broadway when I was 16. And it was cool. It was with like Ariana Grande and Liz Gillies. A bunch of cool people were in it. And that was the moment. I think when I got that show, it felt like, okay, I had been auditioning for a few years and that was it. That was when we really dove in.
You're in it.
Let's go, baby.
It's time.
I can't be I can't have my one gig at 16 and then never do it again. So I better make this thing work.
That's awesome. So then when did you move out to LA?
Moved out to LA when I was like, when I was 18. Yeah, 18. I dropped out of NYU. I was in school for 3 months and I got a random movie thing and they said I couldn't come back unless I would take a C. And I was like, all right, I'm out then. So I jumped out and I went to, I went to LA when I got the pilot for my Nickelodeon show, How to Rock.
Okay.
And I moved out here. And I was doing this movie Rags and the show. I was just doing a bunch of stuff with Nick. And that was the moment I moved out. And I've been in the same place for like 10 years, which is bizarre to start being able to say that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how that creeps up on you. I'm hitting almost 10 years in Korea, which is...
Wow.
Which I was like, what? Because for me, I was like, I'm going to be here 2-3 years and I'm leaving. But it's been almost 10 years, which is kind of insane to me.
It's so cool that that's a part of your story because I know you're from Atlanta and then moving there. What point did you learn Korean? Were you always fluent? How did that come about?
My Korean was very elementary. Like it was basically like, I don't want to study. I'm hungry. Mom, leave me alone. That kind of Korean. When I got to Korea, I had to learn Korean to be on these TV shows. They kept putting me on shows and I didn't know what was going on. So I forced myself to like learn through cue cards and like understanding the scripts and just studying. So it was a process. I had constant panic attacks now that I think about it.
Wow. Did you use any apps or any action? Was there like Duolingo for you while you were doing that or no?
No, I just did a lot of... just like dictionary stuff.
Mm.
Because what I realized is like, it's not so much the basic grammar or the words. It's like everyday speak stuff that I couldn't understand.
Totally.
Like just the way normal jargon or like in Korean, they have like yuhaengo or like jaebeumal, which is like just trendy words. Or they'll cut like long phrases into 3 words to represent a certain thing. So they just hyphenate everything. So if you told me the word itself, I'd be like, oh, this means yellow sweater. But they'll abbreviate that. So nobody would know what that means. So they have so many of those that I was just lost all the time.
Totally.
But now I feel okay now. You know.
Good. Man, props to you. I'm always learning like the little bits. Like we tour, you know, I'm sure you do the same. You learn like 4 phrases in the different places. And then you're like, and then I had a moment after Korea where I was like, I'm gonna learn Korean, man. I'm out here.
Oh, really?
And then I'm just... Of all other things, I'm very ambitious, but with languages, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then I just don't. I just try. And then I'm like, 감사합니다. And that's it.
Bye.
Like, yeah, bye.
Languages are hard.
Hey, respect to those who have the... I think that's a big thing I always remind myself is like, if you have a drive where you know where you want to... If you can learn five languages and it doesn't feel like work to you, that's what you're meant to do. Like, dig in. And if you can spend all day recording and writing music and doing this whole thing, that's what you're meant to do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't fight that because it feels right.
Speaking of music, you're now putting out your second studio album very soon. Mm-hmm. It's been about 4 years since your first one. What has happened in between? I read that you lost your voice.
I did.
Read that you went through some stuff, some ups and downs. What went into the building and the creation of this new album, and why is it meaningful to you?
Yeah, beautiful question, man. How? I love that. I did lose my voice. I had the surgery. A lot of singers go through it. It's where you get, I had what's called a polyp. Some people get nodes, just different things. It's just from overperforming and over-singing. And, you know, it's just I was just doing too many shows. I just loved it too much. I was doing like 7 or 8 in a row without a day off.
Oh my gosh.
It's just something that now I try to tell, you know, fellow performers just to take care of yourself. Cause in the moment you feel invincible. And and the people that I was with were like, oh no, it makes sense for the routing and whatever else. You get a lot of different excuses from people being like, oh, you're gonna lose all this money if you don't do this many shows in a row. So I did it. And I got this surgery where I basically couldn't speak for 4 months. I didn't speak. On tour, I was on tour at the time when I found out I had it, and I didn't speak for the 2 months of the tour, except for the shows. So I was on the bus, and I had this app called Big, and I would just type to people in meet and greets and anything else. I learned sign language a lot.
Wow.
Besides of any language, I've learned sign language, and I still use it with my wife to like say little secret things, which is cute.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, it was being trapped in my head for basically 4 months. And then I had the surgery, couldn't speak for a month straight. No sound, nothing. And then I had a month where I started building it back. And then things started to get a little back to normal. And I'd say like five or six months ago, I really got back to me. But it took a long time. But it was definitely, I learned to just really appreciate every second I'm on stage. Every show's as if my last, you know, it really did affect me in that way, because before maybe I was like, man, I'm so glad to be at the show, but like, I'm just doing this so I can get to an arena. You know, you just keep thinking of the growth.
Right.
And it definitely made me present and thinking, well, if there's 500 people in this room or 5,000, I don't care. I'm going to give it the same amount. I'm going to give that Kobe. I'm going to give that Michael Jordan. You know, I've been watching those ESPN docs.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, you realize that it could be your last. So give it. Treat it every time like that. And I didn't before then. I was always just thinking about like, oh, I'm seeing my friends become huge and I'm just, I'm caring about that. And it really broke my priorities. So going through a little trauma like that just makes you appreciate being able to do the thing you love doing.
I mean, amen. I cannot fathom what that is like to have something that, I mean, essentially as a performer, you rely on your voice for everything. Right? Like it is your bread and butter. It's how you make your money. It's how you express yourself. And it's a big embodiment of who you are as a person. It's your identity. And to have that stripped down is a very, I would think like it could cause like an existential crisis in many ways. Like, did you have any of those moments?
Oh yeah, man. So many. I mean, I had my relationship suffered. You know, we had so many like fights where I wouldn't speak. I just have the app and I like would type things to her and then she'd be yelling. And, you know, she just wanted me to speak. She was like, just talk to me for 15 minutes. People were always joking with her being like, oh, you must love this. You know, your husband isn't talking. She was like, no, I hate it. You have to speak to me. And I think that was definitely painful. And then there were some other things. Like I was with a certain, you know, people on my team for like 5 or 6 years. And then it went away those people went away and I got a whole new crew of people. And it was because of the surgery. And that sucked too, man. All of it. It felt like the rug was just being pulled.
Sorry. So if I'm understanding, once you had like, I have this issue, I have this health problem, people that were around you kind of just bounced.
In a way. I mean, I don't think the long story short of it is they're cool people and we're cool now, but at the time I think it was a moment for them maybe. Mm-hmm. I always try to think of it from their end, but from my end, I find out about this and then I hear rumblings that they don't want to work together anymore. And then I took the initiative and I was like, you know what? I don't want you to wait till I'm better. Yeah. So they weren't evil people, but just to hear that like they weren't in it with me, you know, uh-huh. in that moment, like that maybe took it away from them.
Right.
Oh, it killed me. So, but sometimes, you know, when it rains, it pours and you just have to really mm-hmm. sink your teeth in and mm-hmm. and say, this moment of my life is going to change everything.
Yeah.
And I'm either going to seize the day. And it's kind of interesting because it even affects this time right now, at least for me. I think mm-hmm. that happening, you just roll with the punches and you pivot. You're like, what can I do right now?
Right.
That time it was, I can't speak. I literally can't use my voice. I can't sing. So can I write? Can I write physically? There were so many things that I just didn't realize I was doing mm-hmm. every day that suddenly when you're not doing it, you just can't, your habits are gone and your daily routine is gone. And not being able to hum a melody or talk to your friends or anything like that, all those little things. You're like, how do I write music? I'm just writing in my head. That was weird.
That's fascinating. I'm glad you're through it. I'm glad you're recovered. Thank God.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
So during that time, I guess before, after, during, how did that affect this new album, Color Vision?
Dude, it was some of the songs were recorded before. Most of them were recorded after. And mm-hmm. that's why the first song I did right when I got out was Love Me Less. And mm-hmm. I put that song out and it was sort of, I had written the song before, but the message of it was, I hope you don't love me less for my past and what I've been through and mm-hmm. and for maybe not being here. And it was sort of a message to everyone, but to the fans especially, of I had been silent for so long. I hadn't released music for a long time. And I think it was a moment where I was talking to the new team I was with. And I was like, what should be the first song? And it really felt like a universe moment of be the most vulnerable I can be, rather than maybe putting out like the sexiest track or whatever else, like put out the track that feels like it's speaking directly to the people that maybe I haven't spoken to directly before. And that's why it started. And that's why I started wearing the yellow, because I came out of that surgery and I just had this vision when I was just trapped in my brain that I needed to have hope, because I was so, I had never been depressed. And I was the first time I was actually the lowest depressed. And, you know, I can never relate to people who, you know, are clinically depressed or have to take medicine. And I feel for them and I'm sorry that they go through that. But I was in it for the first time where I just need some hope. I just need to feel like there was something that I could dream about and that things maybe could get better. And that was the color yellow to me. And I had never committed to something like that. So that's why I wore it. I've been wearing it ever since.
There you go. Now we know. I look at your artwork, your photos. They're all beautifully shot. And I was like, that's a lot of yellow.
That's a lot of yellow.
But it's a good yellow. It's a bold, energetic, charismatic yellow. And I feel like that really well embodies where you're coming from.
Oh, thanks, Reggie.
Yeah, absolutely. So you put out Love Me Less. And then you put out Where Am I At? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, that's a very emotional song in itself as well. Like, where did that come from?
Oh, that was just a really, you know, I lost one of the close, my hero in my life and my family. She passed away. She was 103, which was cool. She definitely lived a great life. But I think she was always there. And I had older parents growing up. So like everybody passed away in my life, you know, very young, 5, 6, 7, 8. And so I was just used to death in an early age. But she was one of the last people that really got to be there to meet my wife and actually know a life that felt real. And so when she passed away, I think it was the first time it really hit me that I was just, I didn't know who I was. And then I cycled forward. I was like, what is it going to be like when my parents pass away? What's going to be like all of those people? So it's a little depressing, but it definitely was the song that came out of me questioning who I am and who any of us are when those people who are a part of us are gone and you try to carry them with you, but you ultimately are, you know, you're you're trucking on without them, and you question if you're going to be the same person when they're gone.
Right.
So that's where it came from.
Right. It's a beautiful song. And I think that's like the really cool thing about so much of your music. It's deeply personal. It's deeply vulnerable and honest. And that's probably why it's such a good reaction to it globally.
Thanks, man. Same to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're the goat, baby. You're the goat.
And then most recently you put out a new song with Hayley Kiyoko.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell us a little about that? I mean, that's a very fun collaboration. I'm also excited to see all these new collaborations don't know anything, but I have an inkling that you have a lot packed and stored away for this album.
We get to talk about some of it today, finally.
I think
the K-pop fans will be happy because they've been pissed at me. Not gonna lie, they hate me teasing, but I tease everything. That's the thing. Yeah. Sometimes I see people like defending. That's why I love the honesty of K-pop fans, because like one person's like, oh, he's just chasing the cloud, and the other one's like, nah, he's really friends with this person. And then they just like keep going back and forth. I'm like, I don't even have to say anything. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for going back and forth. But I love teasing it, because it's like, it's all I have for a bit. And I also just enjoy the process of, because once it's out, you can't tease that anymore. Teasing is one of the best parts of putting out music.
It's the fun part. It's a give and take, push and pull with the fans, with the music community. Just like, I have this amazing song, I can't wait for you to hear it, but I'm just going to savor this excitement of me being the only person that knows until it's out there.
Yeah. You know, there's another part of it, and I know you know how this feels, when you go to a city for a show, and then you do the show, and then everybody comments on it saying like, oh, you were in Toronto? How did I not know? And you're like, I don't know, from the 30 posts that I put up about this freaking tour, and you know, me teasing this tour nonstop, and you didn't know, like, how did you even see this one post?
Right.
That will forever kill every artist, I think.
It's infuriating, because I'm like, I've literally made everything possible and accessible to you on every platform to say I'm coming to your city. And then they're like, I just missed you by a week. I wish you had told me. It's like, this has been out for 5 months. Like,
and they see that post. Of all posts, they comment on the post of you being there. It's just always the moment where you just, it never stops happening. So I think in the same way it's with music, it's like, I don't want you to have an excuse to say you didn't know this was coming out, or you didn't hear it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Tell, like, you know, this new song with Hayley, how did that come about?
Yeah.
Like, what's it about? And then maybe we could dive into some of the upcoming stuff.
Totally, man. You're so good at keeping on track. I just want to compliment your hosting. Well done, baby.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Miss Calls is great. Hayley and I have been friends for so long. When I moved out to LA, she brought me on this epic hike in Malibu. For my first time, she was doing the Disney thing. I was doing the Nickelodeon thing. Mm-hmm. And we both wanted to be... We had both had very similar aspirations. We wanted to do music and not do that thing for a sec, you know? So we became friendly. I asked her to actually be on Love Me Less a long time ago. And she wasn't, it was before Quinn had heard it himself and jumped on. And she was like, I don't think this is the one, but keep hitting me up. So finally, about like 2.5 months ago, Miss Calls was one of the last songs on the record that I wrote. And I hit her up and I was like, hey, I think a female needs to be on this. And it would be really cool because your story, you know, your sexuality and your who you are, I haven't really heard a song like that, you know? Mm-hmm. That would be cool. And she was like, say no more. I'm in. I'm coming over. I'm going to write it with you.
Yeah.
She came over and we dove in. And I loved this sort of, you know, like this bisexual anthem of sorts we were diving into together. It didn't even mean to. I wrote the song first with my guys, Jake and Johnny, and then asking her to be a part of it. So it's cool when you collaborate and the song evolves into something you didn't necessarily intend it to be in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes that. So yeah, it was really cool. And she put her story on and we just did the quarantine video on Friday before the weekend, which was, man, have you been doing any videos like for your music while you've been in this
time? I have not. Tell me about what you did. How did it go?
We'll see, man. It's still the process. You guys will all see it with me, but I need to stay in the world I've created with ColorVision. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just throw an animated video. It was so important to me not to break the authentic, you know, just the connection of each video. I really wanted to make sure that the color scheme and everything was on. So I knew that I couldn't use my usual people. I only have my one guy who's videoing in quarantine with me.
Uh-huh.
So I just brainstormed for like 3 weeks about different ideas. And I ended up thinking about this one where basically we're, all right, I'm going to give the video away, but who cares? Just for, it's an exclusive for Eric.
Exclusive.
But we'll see how it turns out. People will know from this. Basically, I had the idea of, what if we shoot us on our colorful backgrounds in our outfits? And then I send it to my guy who I did the checklist video in Sacramento with, and he shoots his people. And basically, the idea is we shot our faces on these backgrounds, and then they're going to have body doubles that are through, our faces are on actual TVs, and they mimic our movements and like go in and out and utilize the rest. So we're still seeing if it works out, but it's been such a different, it's been a challenging process, but I'm kind of excited because it definitely, this time has warranted new challenges. I wouldn't be right. making this specific video if it weren't these circumstances. So yeah. It's been, I mean, I was painting backdrops. I was like doing so much more than I ever do for videos. I was lighting it with my guy. We're just, you know, duoing with Haley in the room, her makeup person like out in the driveway with a mask on. It was just, we were just trying to keep it as safe as possible. But us switching out in the rooms, everywhere's wearing masks. It was intense, but I think it'll be even more rewarding if it works out. And if it doesn't, we tried. So whatever.
I'm so excited to see this now. Like, that's like the, you know, this situation obviously just sucks for everybody, but it forces people to be more creative and to approach things from completely different angles. And I think that's like, you know, the silver lining in all of this, to see a video that's going to be coming out where you guys have a crazy process and setup. Now I know I have to absolutely watch it. By the way, speaking of, your videos, I feel like, are always just so entertaining.
Thank you, brother.
I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, this is so just fun to watch, and the colors and the schemes and the outfits. And I just always think it's so well done. So I'm sure this will be right up there.
I'm sure you're the same way, because you have all of your own shows and you're just mogling it up, baby. But like, it's hard to, you want to do it. There's definitely an obsessive compulsive sense of just wanting all the details to be right. And it just adds to it. Do you feel that way?
I personally, I feel like I try, but I've gotten to a point where I have to just let things go now. Like, I will take it to a certain point, and I rely on the people around me to bring it that extra certain percentage. If they can't, then like, what are you going to do? I've just learned to live with it.
The trust is so important, man.
Yeah,
more than ever with the people that you work with, to make sure that you really are like, I'll give you this baby, and I trust that you will feed it and not drop it.
Take care of it, please.
Don't drop my baby on its head.
Please do not. So what's up next? I mean, tell us a little bit more about what we can look forward to on this album in particular. Or before we get there even, is there a certain message that you want to convey with this new album? And here's a question. You spelled color the UK way.
Explain
yourself.
There are two reasons why I spelled color the UK way. For one, my wife is British. And the second is that I think I've always felt like I've kind of fit into a bunch of little boxes, a bunch of different places, I guess, cultures, whatever. And I've always liked being able to do that, but I've never really felt a sense of my own community, I guess. And sometimes that gets to me. Like, I love that I can, you know, maybe open for Fall Out Boy and those fans won't hate me and maybe they'll dig the thing. But I always wondered what it would be like for people, you know, who have just a very specific community of fans. Like, if they're a punk rock group and like those fans show up and they know what they're coming for. And I guess being a pop artist, sometimes you're like, do you have that? And for me, I think with this record, it was before this album, I was with those people I talked about earlier in the interview where they were always telling me like, get mohawks and like try to fit in places. And the cliche just comes true where I just never really felt, I was always trying to be authentic in that, but it wasn't authentic to me. And with this record, I think specifically even the name, it was not afraid to maybe be a little bit off. And it's okay that you don't fit into all those boxes fully. And maybe you don't have a box at all. And maybe the box that is not any of the boxes is where you fit. And that's okay too. And that's kind of what I find. I'm 28. I mean, I'm going to be 28 in June, and I'm finally accepting that. And it's one of those moments where you just there's a sad part of it because you feel like, why didn't I just do this like 10 years ago? Why didn't I just like be cool to not fit in that box? But finally, the box where everybody else is maybe trying to dip their feet in is the one that you feel the most comfortable with it. And maybe it's a box that hasn't been created yet. And that's sort of what I hope to make with this record, and that community of just letting those colors shine. If you wear yellow and everybody hates yellow, that's okay. You know, whatever it is. So I think for some reason with this one, and I think it was because of the surgery and being out on my own for the first time and feeling like kind of this rebirth, because these people had essentially said they didn't dig my thing anymore and they didn't believe in me. That's what it felt like. And for whatever other reason. And when you hear that from someone, especially being, you know, being a singer, an artist, or a creative, like, we're sensitive. We're more sensitive than people realize. Even we put up this, maybe we try to be moguls and like have our feet dipped in different places. And we have like such a gushy heart. And I think this record for me, and even having that extra U to spell it in the British way, was just saying, I'm finally accepting that this isn't as normal as everybody wants it to be. And that's okay. And I'm happy with that. So that's the vibe.
That's amazing. I'm glad that you're getting to the point where you're putting these pieces together and you're feeling comfortable with all that. I have a question for you. That's so when it comes to pop music, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know what it is. It's a perception of pop and pop music that I personally love pop music, but I often find myself apologizing for liking pop music, which feels insane to me.
Yeah, you feel guilty about it, totally.
Right, and then even as like somebody who writes pop music, when you talk to labels or you talk to A&Rs or whatever, it's always like, don't, like, pop is just the hardest thing to sell, right? For so many different reasons. But how have you come to terms with some of the difficulties and the challenges that exist being a just center pop player? And I mean that in the best way.
Like, totally, man.
You know, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it ended up being the proof a few times that I just had to stop thinking it was going to be something that hadn't happened yet and just realized that, you know, with Lights Down Low, for example, that was another example of, you know, one of the most pop songs for me that I wrote, and I wrote it for my wife and I proposed to her with it. And that was a story that I always tell people, because at the time I was with a place where they wanted me to date famous girls and not reveal my relationship. And they were like, you're a pop star. You have to be single and you got to be dating other famous girls. Like, that's the only way to do it. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. So like, I just can't lie and I'm not going to fake a life. So I'm not going to do that. And I guess if I'm not as big of a pop star, that's okay. And that proof moment of that song being so pop and being so honest at the same time, and almost being like, oh, maybe like these rappers that I meet won't think it's the coolest thing, or they won't fuck with my music because of it. Having that moment and then that song getting to a place where people connected with it in so many ways, in such a deep way, and continue to, that was a proof moment. And then with Love Me Less, even like that, having that message and having people be like, I don't know if you can have a pop song where you're like, I hope you don't love me less for stuff. I just kept having people in the game that I respected who would say to me, I don't think this song is going to work. And being like what you just said, oh, it's too pop. There was another song that I had that was called Slow Dancing to a Trap Song that I didn't write, and that all the powers that be were like, this is the hit. You have to put this out. And I was like, this is not, I don't like this. And it's not me. I'm going to have to sing this every day. And by the way, it's not pop. It sounds like a trap song that you're trying to have a pop person sing, you know? So the point being that every time I tried to steer away from that and be like, maybe if I do this, people will like it more, it just kept failing. And then the few moments where I just accept that I love pop music and I love the stories and I love the hooks and I love the brightness in certain moments, those were the moments that people connected with the most. So it felt like why do I keep fighting this? It felt like you keep looking at this other girl, but the love of your life has been right by your side whole time, you know? Why are you ashamed of her? She's the best. Yeah. She's got a beautiful heart and spirit. Her name's Pop Music, and she's a great girl. And just love her for who she is, dog. Stop being a jerk.
That's great. You know, I love that we're able to talk about it because I personally feel the same way.
Yeah, do you?
Even in Korea, they're like, your stuff is too pop. Your stuff is too white. Your stuff is too American. You're what? I was like, I don't really care. I like pop music. I love pop music. And I don't want to have to justify the fact that I like pop music and I want to perform pop music.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask that because I'm like, that's something that I feel like as musicians, it can even just be weird to talk about, like that sentiment, you know, but it's something that for people who just really love music, who really appreciate pop music, I feel like that's a part that they may not see so much of. I'm so glad you articulated that in such an eloquent way that I understand as well.
I'm glad you feel it, baby. I'm glad you feel it.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
Next up, I keep hearing rumblings. I can't say it myself, but I've heard it from you. I've heard it from this other guy that there's some cool projects coming through.
Let's go.
What can you share with us about said cool project?
Gosh, well, I know, you know, as people know, sometimes you pre-record these. We're pre-recording. I don't know when this is coming out, but it could be out by now. It could not. I think it's probably out. But yeah, I have this song that's out with Suga on his mixtape. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We've been working on it for a while. You know, that story with them, with the BTS guys it's just so long in the making. It's wild. That's how I was even introduced to K-pop, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. It was like 4 years ago when I just saw a feature I had with this friend of mine, Audien, called One More Weekend, was suddenly number one in Korea. And I had no idea why. I was like, what's going on? Do you guys know what's up? Because I really liked the song and I didn't feel like his label was pushing it. So I kept sending them things. I was like, yo, did you guys see his number one in Korea? Like, let's go. And then I found out it was because at the time I didn't know who he was. Jungkook from BTS had sang it in a live and really liked the song and said that he loved it. I was like, yo, who's got the power to put a song number one in their country by just singing it? Who are these guys?
Yeah.
So then I dove in. I was like, all right, I'm ARMY. What's going down? Who is this? And so fast forward, every few months, he or, you know, Suga eventually would post in their playlist about a song, you know, and it ended up being Love Me Less. Most recently, both of them posted in their playlist on Spotify. So I gave some love on Twitter, whatever else, as always, just being like, thank you for posting it. So then when I went to Korea, hit them up and I was like, I'm coming to Korea for the first time. If you can hang out, that'd be so cool. And I didn't know what I expected. I thought we would just like maybe take a picture and I'd just be like, thanks for listening to the music. But I get to the, you know, the big hit offices and I kick it with Suga and we just both randomly got into basketball. And I'm such an obsessive Knicks fan. And it's kind of like being a pop music lover. Being a Knicks fan, are you into basketball at all, Eric? Do you like basketball?
I'm not very much into basketball. Totally but I feel what you're saying. I know where you're going.
The Hawks are pretty bad too. So
here's the thing. Growing up as an Atlanta sports fan is the most painful thing. If there's a reason to quit sports, it's being from Atlanta because you're let down every single year.
Man, I feel like this is it. And that's how I feel in New York. You know, the Knicks are like just for, and then the only team I care about. So somehow I got into that with him and I just didn't know he was obsessive. And then I come to find out that Suga means shooting guard and like he's played basketball in high school and stuff. And I didn't know any of this. But then we went hard. And I was like, when you come to LA, I'm going to bring you to a basketball game. So anyway, fast forward, I brought him to his first basketball game. It was actually the night of Kobe's tribute. I had no idea. I just got the tickets for that night. And it was such a special night. And all the while, we kept talking about doing music. But that was like the night he brought me to Korean barbecue and we just kicked it. And we've definitely said to each other, like, we're making music. It's time. And he sent me a song for his mixtape. And we've been writing it ever since for like, you know, like 4 months or whatever it is, 3 months. And now it's finally out, which is
cool. That's so cool. That's awesome. It's so cool because I feel like I've watched the two of you like court each other from both sides.
I love
such
it.
A weird thing. But hey, literally, man. Because even when you were in Seoul and Suga went to see you, I think we had texted about you or something. Then the day before you guys went to basketball, I had dinner with him in K-Town. So we had dinner. I was like, what are you up to this weekend? He's like, oh, I'm going to go to watch a basketball game with Max tomorrow. I was like, oh, Max and I were just texting like the other day about like trying to write together. So it was like, we kept going in circles and I was like, something's going to happen. It's going to be freaking awesome.
Let's go.
And
baby.
Here it is. So I'm Let's so excited go. that it's together. It's yes. out there. And
K-pop fans can stop being mad at me. I'm sorry for teasing for so long.
They just want it. They just want that quality music. They want that content.
They just want to make sure you ain't full of it. You know, they're like, don't try to tease me and then just put out a song in Korean and you don't have my idol on that song. You know, don't mess with me like that. I'll never forgive you. But now they can forgive. It's real, you know?
Oh, man.
I will say the other part of it was I thought that my album was coming out this month, but mm-hmm. you know, because of everything that's happened, it's coming out in September now. So it's just like, it's been tricky. So I was teasing in thinking that, you know, all the music would be out this month. So
that
was the other part of teasing. But now this song is out and it feels glorious that it is out. Mwah.
That's so amazing. Good. That's amazing. As we're recording this, it has not come out yet. So just to say, I'm super excited to hear it.
Yeah.
Did you record in Korean?
A little bit. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I texted. So somebody, he works with this amazing woman named Nicole. She's sort of, even when I hang with him, she's like the most incredible and just quick translator too.
Yeah.
Like it feels, I have never experienced that in any country where I truly feel like I'm just having a one-on-one conversation with someone and there's no translator there at all. So she's been the middle person for this whole process. And even when I was singing, I was like, what's he singing here? Because I want to double it on top of it. And she mm-hmm. told me, and it's in my notes, but I forget what I sang. What was it? But anyway, it was fun. Anytime I've put out one of those teasing things, it literally is because in that moment I do the thing. And then I think people thought, you know, I was like saving it. No, in that moment I sang in Korean. I was like, I'm gonna do this a lot more. Let's go. Do you remember the first time you sang in Korean, what that was like?
Stressful.
Yeah.
Very stressful. I still remember like my first time ever being in a studio singing a Korean song. It was like the worst experience of my life. It was just, I was just so stressed because they'd be like, you're pronouncing everything wrong. And I was like, it sounds exactly the same to me. And they're like, no, it's completely wrong. And so I remember whenever I go into a studio to record in Korean, I'm like super paranoid and like incredibly nitpicky just to make sure that I get it perfect. So nobody can say, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, totally.
Happened for like 3-4 years for the beginning of my career. Wow. I put out a song and they're like, we have no idea what you're saying. I was like, what?
it
makes
exactly
complete
like the
sense.
Reference.
What are you talking about? Okay.
But I know, so, we know how that feels in English because sometimes you do hear, you know, foreign artists sing a song in English mm-hmm. and you're like, I wonder if they know that the word they said there definitely sounds very different than what we usually sing it as. Or if they are like, what are you guys talking about? This sounds exactly like ice cream. Why are y'all thinking being weird about it, you know?
Right. No, it's, you know. It is what it is, but
it's
it's part of the game. And I think cool thing is, you know, as music and as the world becomes more globally aware, mm-hmm. all that stuff continues to just kind of fall off and it doesn't matter as much anymore. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know we're all kind of in like a weird situation with mm-hmm. quarantine and all that kind of stuff. I guess for the foreseeable future, you're just kind of working on rolling this album out in September.
Yeah.
What else are you kind of doing?
Gosh, well, I'm gonna keep the K-pop teasing going. You know, this
okay.
isn't the only one. Obviously,
okay.
there's more, and I'm figuring out like the video for the next one because that's gonna come out in a couple mm-hmm. months, and I'm just really trying to get ahead of it. I'm just assuming at this point it'd be great to be back to normal and way we usually do videos and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just gonna for the foreseeable future try to stay creative on how to keep making this content in the way we want while being in the situation we're in, you know? So
absolutely.
Yeah. It's been, yeah, the album, I've done a bunch of different fun features because the album was supposed to come out this month and I already had them done. So I have more music this year than I've had coming out in so many years. And I already have the second record, next project or whatever, the next project after this, where we've been working on that because this one's been done. So
you are prolific, sir.
I can't have that 4-year gap again. You know, I'm like,
true.
Can't happen. How about you? Are you working on a new thing in this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm supposed to put something out in Korea, probably July, ooh. And then beyond that, I'm trying to figure it out. I'll fill you in later. But it's interesting times. So it's like a lot of moving pieces, trying to put the pieces together. But right now, I'm just kind of putting my head down and trying to get this next Korean one out. So
we'll, you just release it in Korea, you're saying? Or you release it everywhere? But you're
I release everywhere, but it'll lead with Korean language. So
gotcha,
like the last album was all English, which was the first time I did that. This one will be majority Korean. It's interesting. Like, there's no right answer, but always playing between the different languages just to keep, you know, fans in certain geographic areas, you know, interested. Because yeah. My Korean fans, they love my English stuff, but they still want to be like, I want to understand it and not have to run a translator through. And so, you know, that's where I started in trying to keep, you know, that appreciation and show that love for people that in Korea as well. I think it's just important. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
Just kind of what it is. Just non-music related stuff. Yeah. What are you watching these days? Like what have you been up to otherwise?
Man, I binge it all. So I have my two styles of shows. I got shows that I watch with my wife. Uh-huh. And then I have shows that I watch when she falls asleep. the shows I watch when she falls asleep are The Bachelor. That's it. I just watch every season of The Bachelor. I never watched The Bachelor until quarantine. I started looking up like, what's the best season of The Bachelor? So I've just been bouncing around, which has been weird because certain seasons like have people from other seasons. And then I'm like, oh snap, I watched this out of order, whatever. And then the shows with Emily, we watch Insecure, we watch John Oliver, we watch what did we binge during this time? We've been watching that new Hollywood show on Netflix, which is cool. We watched the Waco show on Netflix, you know.
How is that? I haven't seen that yet.
Great. Gnarly.
Is it?
Gnarly.
Okay. That might be my next one.
The leading actor is one of those guys that you've seen him in so many things where he's just like the hunk, you know, he's just like the gorgeous leading man. But he's done such a great job of looking still handsome, but like creepy. And and I love when leading actors can do that. I love when they just kind of get themselves looking like kind of frail and creepy, like Christian Bale when he did that.
Yeah.
So it's been cool because that show was definitely graphic, but really, I love the way they shot it. And it's got so many great actors. John Leguizamo's in it. Just a slew of, you know, legends just doing their things. And then I always, of course, love just when people, it's based on a true story. And it seems like they really dug into it. It doesn't feel. So that's a good one if you've been on the fence.
I've been on the fence. I've seen it pop up. I'm like, I don't know what it is. Do I want to jump in? And I've been there, but you got me there. I'll watch it.
You're going to have to binge it though. It's one of those. You're gonna dive in, you know?
Just lock away for a few days, you know.
Are there any that you would recommend that are just the best right now?
Oh man. I've been really enjoying that Last Dance, the Michael Jordan thing.
So good. Yeah. Yeah.
What else have I been watching? Yesterday I went on a National Geographic Planet Earth kind of binge.
Nothing.
Just the world is beautiful. And even if you've seen it before, just watching, I was like, gosh, how do they get those shots? And dude. Sir David Attenborough, you got an amazing narrative voice. That's all I'm going to say.
Just the god of nature shows, truly.
He truly is. Before, you know, I think we're going to let you go. We've been talking for almost an hour now. But
amazing.
Anything you want to say, anything you want to plug, I have one question before you do that. Sorry. I have one question and then I'm going to go into it. One question a lot of fans are asking. Obviously, the song with Suga is out now.
Yes.
What's next for you in K-pop? Anybody you want to collab with? Anybody that you're listening to?
Yeah.
Who you loving?
Totally. Well, obviously, this is one song with Suga, and you know, I love the guy, so there might be more. I'll just say that. What else? But I have, like we talked about sort of the beginning, once I went to Korea, I felt like it like was the Pandora's box of then knowing so many people started coming out of the woodwork. So I was like, dang, this is cool. So like Joshua from 17 has been giving love to Checklist specifically. And I got hooked up with the Day 6 guys, like Jay and everybody. And I was just like, oh, everybody, this is really cool. And Young K, he did a cover of Love Me Less. So I just feel like I'm Korean now. I'm just going to like move there like you did. I'm just like, it's cool over there. I'm just
come on over.
This is my squad now. Let's go. So it's who knows, man. I've definitely oh my god. And I think this is how you pronounce his name, but Zico, right? Is that how you
Zico.
Pronounce his name?
Yeah.
Dude, that Any Song song came to my attention a couple months back and I gave him some love. I was like, dude, this I don't even know what you're saying, and I'm obsessed with this song. I think that was one of the other first moments of K-pop, specific not even, you know, when there's English moments. That was one of the first songs for me where I was like, this is the jam and I'm obsessed with this song.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what's happening, but I just am in. So I gave him some love and he hit me back on Insta saying like, yo, thanks. You're the Acid Dreams guy, which is very funny, by the way. I didn't even mention that. Like I had this song on the album called Acid Dreams, which, you know, was sort of to me like an album track that we put out. And in the States when we did shows, like people dig it. It's a funky track, but there wasn't like a crazy reaction. But the second we went to Korea and Asia, it was like, that was the one. That was
really
that was the hit song for them. They like, I'd sing Lights Down Low or Love Me Less and people would be stoked. But then for some reason in Japan and in Korea, I sang that song and the crowd went wild. And I was, and it's funny because my partner Ryan, who I, you know, I do all my music with and he tours with me and stuff. That was the first one he's produced for me. So it's cute to be on stage and actually have a moment together where we looked into the crowd and everybody was stoked about this song that we just did together.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, this is fire. I'm loving this. So he was, so it's funny that he, of all songs, he's like, oh yeah, your song is Acid Dreams. I'm like that. I'm usually, you know, it's nice to be referred to as something different than what you're used to being, like the Lights Hello guy or Loving This guy. Do you ever feel like that with people? Do they refer to you as from like one song? Or,
yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, over the span of the career, there are certain songs that people gravitate to.
Of course.
At certain points. So, I mean, most recently, it's going to be probably Love Die Young, where people are like, oh, that one. But then, like, in Korea, it'll be my first song ever, my debut song, or a song called Good For You. So, it's just different geographic locations absolutely have different things that people attach themselves to. Which is fascinating, interesting.
It really, that was really the first one for me. I've literally nowhere else had like a, it just was, I feel like the Lights Down Low reaction was like, oh, this is a nice one. And then that one was like, oh, it's Acid Dreams. This is my jam. And we just, every night we were like, what's happening? How is this going down? So anyway, yeah, I love that people like the funkier side over there. You know, those are my favorite songs too. So it's cool that they like the funky stuff.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Max, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, catching up.
This is our first time really talking, which it people is. Probably don't even know. And
we've just texted back and forth regularly, but like, you know, connecting via voice, probably the first time. Yeah. So it's been a pleasure. Thanks for making time. And anything you want to say to our listeners, plug, push, whatever, this is the time. Go for it.
Oh man, I'm just delighted to be here. Thanks for having me. Color Vision, the record comes out September 18th now. It's not going to get pushed again, I promise. The vinyls will be ready by then. I'll have them signed. All the songs will be good. That's the reason why I had to push it, because you know, vinyls and CDs take longer and you know the world shut down, so they couldn't make them.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I got that album coming out and I just shouts to the K-pop fans because you know, I know they've been hating me for a while and I feel like this is now going to be a moment where they're like, oh, you teased for a reason. So
yeah.
I hope y'all got love again. And I just,
no, I'm
yeah,
sure
thanks
they all love
me.
You. They all love you. They just in anticipation for all this amazing music. So that's what it is.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Can't wait to, you know, stay in touch. Before we let you go, can we ask you to improvise an amazing outro jingle for the show?
Let's go. K-pop Daybok with Eric Nam. You've been listening. You love K-pop too. So that's why we here and we love you. Ooh, ooh.
Cool.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Max. It's been a pleasure. I'll see you soon.
I appreciate you, brother.
Be healthy.
Same.
Be safe. I'll talk to you soon.
Much love, brother. Peace.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, so that was it. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of K-Pop Tebak with Max. Great guy. Amazing musician. Check out his stuff and be sure to look out for all the projects coming soon from him. As always, please, please, please subscribe to us. Leave us a nice rating review and become a patron of ours at patreon.com/divestudios and check out the videos at youtube.com/divestudios. Love you guys. See you next week on K-Pop Tebak. Peace.
Outro! Thank you for listening to K-Pop Tebak with Eric Nam.
British Airways is proud to welcome you to our home, to the thrills of London and the hills of Scotland, to delicious roasts and stunning coasts. Then explore Paris and Madrid and roam around Europe. Devour the art and savour the food, or just shop and shop until you flop into bed. Take off to Britain and beyond. Book now for 2021 and change later with our flexible booking options. Terms apply. Visit ba.com for details.